It was hot as hell. The Scirocco had screamed for days, hurling sand everywhere, including, uncomfortably, in his boxers. How was that even possible through the stiff fabric of his dress uniform? He'd been up for 51 hours on a mission, and only through the mercy of God or fate, something well above his pay grade, had the winds stilled long enough for him to get back to base to participate in this mournful send-off. Remington Cross, who hadn't been called Remy in over 20 years, only Cross, had less than an hour before he had to turn around and fly out again on another mission that might be his last. Maybe. He didn't usually prognosticate gloom and doom. Not that anyone would describe him as sunny side up, but since he'd enlisted at 18, determined to do something good with his life, he'd operated with the deep-seated belief that failure was never an option. 20 years he'd served, 15 of them in Special Forces, 12 of them, off and on, with Jace McBride. And now what? The man who'd convinced him to put in his papers to retire along with the four others standing grim and silent was finally going home to Marietta. In a box. Cross gripped the handle on the side of the coffin. The material of the draped flag brushed his fingers, soft and vibrant in a world with so many hard beige edges. He kept his mind blank. Jace had taught him how to do that. Fall back on training. Don't think, just do. Follow orders. Complete the mission, no matter how many obstacles loom. He waited for the command of their new team leader, Wolf Conti, who made up their sixth. When it came, he lifted the precious cargo in time with his brothers. Shoulders back, spine ranch fence post rigid, face as stoic as theirs, the six men carried their former team leader, the man who had held them together through hell, into the cargo plane's belly. This was not the first time he had carried the flag-draped coffin of a comrade to the hungry mouth of a homeward-bound plane, but it was the hardest. Jace had been a much better man than Cross could ever be, and when Cross had been delayed on his last mission, his fault, Jace, though he was due to return home to his family in a couple weeks and off active rotation, took Cross's place. I should be in the box. The guilt clawed through him, burning his esophagus and blasting his skin more viciously than any Scirocco. Jace had a family waiting for him, a failing ranch he intended to save, dreams. Cross had no one and nothing. As five of them watched Jace's coffin be secured, Rohan Telford ducked back into the hangar and then returned holding a small cooler. Jace would have done it for us, he said soberly, cracking open the cooler and pulling out Jace's favorite beer. Damn, cowboy. Lost my best friend and now you're going to make us drink moose drool? Otis Miller always tried to keep things light when they rarely were. I hate you. Rohan handed out the beer one bottle at a time. There was one six-pack, and judging by the waft of cool mist that escaped, Rohan had used dry ice. I don't even want to think about who you had to screw to get that here, Cross said, feeling the rare need to say something, anything, because Jace had been a friend as much as a commanding officer, and the only one he'd allowed in after a mission went sideways. Cross had resisted the intrusion, embarrassed that Jace, a man he admired, thought it necessary. He could carry his own baggage and not bitch. But he hadn't taken Jace's head checks personally. Jace had worried about each of his men. Got these for Jace, Rohan said, his voice tight with the same emotion that all of them were trying to lock down. In unison, they popped off the bottle caps with their thumbs. Cross waited for the words, but no one spoke. No one took a drink. He hated this. Jace was not the first brother he'd lost on the battlefield. He'd stopped counting the men he'd protected, respected, and lost. That path led to the abyss.